WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has responded to President Biden's threats to pause more arms shipments to Israel if his troops invade Rafah.
This is precision weapons. So, in fact, if you want to avoid civilian casualties, you need these weapons.
The judge denies two requests for a mistrial at Donald Trump's hush money trial as Stormy Daniels wraps up a second day of cross-examination. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
He said that really he put the onus on the defense. Too many details did come out, but he said that Trump's defense attorney, Susan Nicholas, just did not object enough.
Police released body cam footage of the shooting death of an off-duty airman by an officer in Florida.
I want to assure you that we are not hiding, covering up, or taking action that would result in a rush to judgment of Mr. Fortson or our deputy.
Sheriff Eric Aden, CBS News Brief, I'm Elaine Cobb.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Power companies building a high-voltage power line linking Iowa and Wisconsin completed a land deal to build part of the line through a fish and wildlife refuge in Grant County. Conservation groups sued to try to stop the crossing, but a federal appeals court overturned a lower court ruling blocking the project earlier this week. Ballot drop boxes may reopen in Wisconsin this year. The state Supreme Court hears oral arguments Monday. Drop box opponents say they're vehicles for voter fraud. Brenna Godard is a voting expert with the University of Wisconsin Law School.
And we just haven't seen that borne out. There have been surveys and studies that drop boxes were not tampered with or interfered with in this way that would affect the election.
Godard speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A portion of State Street in Eau Claire will be closed for road construction beginning on Monday. A stretch of about 1 mile spanning from Heather Road to Hamilton Avenue will be closed for construction and detoured to Lowe's Creek Road, Golf Road, and Rudolph Road. Construction crews will be making the lanes on the road wider with bike lanes, curbs and gutters, and a 10-foot multi-use path. Officials expect the project to run until November. It currently serves about 7,000 cars per day with a high crash rating. As healthcare organizations scramble to cover the loss of HSHS and Prevea in the Chippewa Valley, Marshfield Medical Center has announced it will create more opportunities for same-day appointments. The extra space in the healthcare provider's schedules can be used for most of the services they offer, including primary care services. Officials say that in addition to offering more care for their patients, one of the main goals of the increased service is to reduce the load on strained emergency departments in the area. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
A Bucks player slapped with a 4-game suspension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee Bucks guard Pat Beverly suspended 4 games next season for misconduct during the Bucks' season-ending loss to the Pacers. Video showing Pat Beverly throwing a ball at a heckling fan. Later, he refused to take questions from an ESPN reporter. Beverly said he's not even sure if he'll be with the Bucks next season.
I'm excited about this summer. I'm excited to see what new home I'm at. If it's, you know, if I'm here, if I'm, you know, wherever. Obviously, we don't know. You know, we came up short, but, you know, we'll see what the summer has.
Baseball, the Brewers with 3 home runs on the way to a 7-1 win over the Cardinals at AmFam Field. The crew getting good performances from young pitchers like Jared Koenig, who got the win, or Tobias Myers, who got the start.
Tobias, that was in Double A part of last year and wasn't slated to be in the big leagues, he's pitching great for 4, and then we get another guy that we didn't know that would pitch for us at all this year. They were great.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Our high 67. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 44. Tomorrow sunshine 68. By Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kristi Noem. Yep, we're finally talking about her. Tune in tomorrow. You cannot miss this.
Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a sunny Friday. Hard not to be good.
Hey, Calvin, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Thank God it's...
Yep, thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, Calvin is... he doesn't change that tune on Fridays, does he?
No, apparently it's a countdown. Monday's day one of the countdown.
Hey, Calvin, it'd be all right with you if every day was Friday?
If that meant that you got a weekend afterwards every time, then yeah.
Imagine what it's going to be like when Calvin retires.
Yeah, every day is Friday.
Yeah.
Counting down the decades.
Yeah. Hey, at least half a century.
At least.
Hey, especially.
Retirement, when you're 25 years old, retirement is an unthinkable kind of concept. It's something that happens to somebody else who looks really old.
Yeah, like
and that's actually the truth.
I know. if you haven't known by now, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. There's no Bucks to talk about. I do watch the NBA. I continue to. It's going to be some teams. I don't think the Celtics are going to win it either.
They're not going to win.
I think it's going to be
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
You know, when you look at these young teams,
it's youth.
Yes.
You look at the way they play, and you realize, you know, one of the things we say about Giannis is the way he plays, he can't last too long. I think that's the new trend in the league is people who just play like this Ant.
Yeah.
Andy Edwards, he won't be able to play like this very long. But the way he's playing right now is phenomenal.
Well, so you and I played the game. You know, it's a game of running and jumping and running and jumping.
You might have been jumping. I was running. And every once in a while, I'd accidentally get off the ground. And usually it resulted in a sprained ankle. But, Yeah,
I was jumping, but you know, as a young man, I could actually dunk a basketball.
I could dunk a volleyball.
At 5'8", I could actually dunk a basketball. But today, I can't jump over a dime. So, yeah, it's a young man's game, and so I was reading an article yesterday about Giannis, and. Ex-player said Giannis has not changed his game. And he was saying that Giannis is going to continue with the injuries because he hasn't developed. You and I talked about this, a jump shot. He shoots 30 43% from 12 to 16 feet in.
Out.
He shoots out.
Out.
He shoots 80% when he's in the paint.
When he's dropping the ball into the basket.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but he can't continue, you know, with these explosive. He's not 21 years old anymore. And so that's what the Celtics are running. I was watching a little bit of the game like you. I'm watching some of these games. And these young guys, hey, man, they don't care about you being a veteran.
I thought the Cavaliers played more or less the way the Wolves were playing, and they tore them apart. You know, their defense, they ran them ragged, actually. And it made me feel a little better about the Jrue Holiday trade because Holiday's good, but
he couldn't stop those guys.
Couldn't stop those guys.
You know,
and I think speed, youth, athleticism is going to trump since they took the paint away from dominant big guys, right? They changed the rules to make it.
They widened
widened the paint.
Yep.
And they enforced the 3-second rule much more closely. And they've set it up for the game to be a more peripheral game, and the 3-point shot changed the game.
More excitement.
Well, changed the game too. I mean, if you can shoot 40% from 3 points, you should never take a 2-point shot.
You know, Sandy, I remember as a young guy playing basketball, an older guy would try to hold me, right? And I'd look at the guy and it's like, oh, really? And then I'd go around him, boom, before he even knew what happened. And I used to laugh because the guy would stick his knee out. It was the only thing he could do to try to stop me from going around him to stick his knee out. Well, after a while,
you find yourself sticking your knee out, didn't you? I got real good at putting my hand on a guy's hip, you know.
Right. Sort of, you used to be able to do that.
Yeah. That was the
right. You can kind of control that guy.
Yeah.
And they used to let them do that in the NBA. Now you can't touch him, you know, and that's why
you can't touch him until the playoffs.
Oh yeah, they're playing football now.
Yeah,
they're playing rugby, is actually what they're playing, and you're watching this, and you're saying, "Hey man, call a foul."
Yeah, there's no such thing.
So, but that makes no sense. Well, I guess it does to them. They're looking for the entertainment value during the regular season, and people don't want to see 85-84. Right? It's like when I go to a baseball game. And the game is 1-0, and people say, "What a great game!" I say, "Well, man, what are you talking about? I want to see 14-12 in baseball. I don't want to see 1-0. That's not, you know, you have to be a purist, I guess, in baseball. So, oh, he pitched a great game. I want to see hits.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see action.
I think you need to take some kind of a drug to make you real chill to go to a baseball game." Because
it's called alcohol.
There's not much. Yeah, it's not much going on. You can watch the paint dry on the wall, or you can go watch a baseball game.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We've got baseball supporters and fans in the audience who will disagree with
that. Look, this is all bias because when I was a kid, baseball was just an opportunity to embarrass myself. You know, you'd stand there forever, and then the ball would come to you, and you better do it right. You know, there was no period for redemption. And all the other sports, you can immediately recover, right? But when you make a glaring error, it's you're toast.
So one thing I have never been able to do in my entire life is hit a baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever hit a line drive ever in my life.
Well, once I got glasses and could see the ball.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Then I was able to, quite frankly.
Well, my vision is 20/80. So I could never hit a baseball because there's clearly a technique to hitting, and I was always flailing away with my arms. And who was the guy? Pee Wee Reese, I think, for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was
the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, I only knew him from the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was a hitting coach, and he would show how you move your hips.
Oh, well, I knew him when he was a player for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Pee-wee Reese was the shortstop for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Right, but he became a great hitting coach. And you would always see, as I would watch him, he would show you how to kind of, you know, use your hips in order to hit the baseball. I couldn't see a correlation between your hips and hitting the baseball. So my entire life, I never hit a ball, I think, out of the infield. So baseball was not exactly my
Baseball was not very, very good to you.
No, it wasn't very, very good to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, good morning to everybody, and welcome again to Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy and I, as always, have a lot to talk about this morning. Sandy, there's some things that you wanted to broach.
Well, you know, one of the
things.
Well,
let's start with the music. So you picked out some music today. Well, what's the purpose?
Well, the purpose is that apparently she can't make lunch today. Miss Otis is going to miss lunch today. And this was a Cole Porter song that was written in the 30s. And everybody that's anybody has taken a whack at it. And so I think we're going to hear it a couple of times because the message is going to be very clear that Miss Otis will not be at lunch today.
All right. So we're going to talk about a couple things you thought that were important.
Well, one of the things that just struck me, I got a thing from Ancestry.com that told me that my grandmother voted for her first time in the 1920 election. And that she had been somewhat active in the women's suffrage movement. And I realized 1920, there have only been 25 presidential elections that women have been allowed to vote in. That's not very many, you know, that my grandmother hadn't voted until she reached the ripe age of 54 years old and had been, you know, a citizen of this country, but hadn't voted. You know, we have a whole other bunch of citizens of the country who didn't vote until after the Civil War, which isn't also that very much long ago in terms of you count it by presidential elections. And yet women have played a huge role in politics, so that Susan B. Anthony, Kate Staton were leaders of the abolition movement, of the temperance movement, and of the suffrage movement. They accomplished three of the most remarkable things that to get accomplished. Abolition, of course, being an important accomplishment. Temperance, prohibition, being weirdly important. I mean, it was ran against essentially the social norms, and banning alcohol for a period of 12 or 15 years was largely the result of women's activism. And then women's suffrage, meaning vote. It's interesting that voting is called suffrage, but and then the suffrage movement, all of which was accomplished largely because of the activity of women in politics. Much of it was done during a time when women couldn't vote, but they still took a lead in political activity. So that prohibition was enacted before women could vote. Abolition was enacted before women could vote. And suffrage was granted by men to women because the women, the people who voted for suffrage, weren't women.
So when you talk about that, or when we have this conversation, it right away, what I think about is the fact that people want to do away with history, and so they want to do away with history, so doing away with history would include or should include everything and all of those things. Very, very seldom do people even talk about that. But it is actually a reality. 844-967-2789. It's a Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
She lifted up her lovely head and cried. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Wiseman. Sandy, before I let you talk about who that is, I forgot. I have to say thank you to the Owens Place and Milwaukee County Health and Human Services on yesterday for inviting me to a day out. What do you call it, Sandy, when it's a block party with all these special needs young people, and young people who are trying to make their way through a society that makes things very difficult for them. But to see them all together and smiling and having a great time meant a lot to me and a lot to all of you. So thank you, Owens Place. Thank you, Milwaukee County Health and Human Services, for inviting me to enjoy that time. Sandy, that voice.
That was Ella Fitzgerald.
The voice.
Yeah, going into the break was Jose Feliciano. Coming out was Ella Fitzgerald. They're all taking a whack at giving the message that Miss Otis won't be at lunch today.
And those two voices, impeccable. So let's get to the meat and potatoes of the fact that women have only had hasn't been very long.
100 years, basically 100 years, 25 presidential elections that women have actually been able to cast the vote. They had a huge impact on politics, beginning with the abolition movement, the temperance movement, which took a while and resulted in prohibition, and ultimately the suffrage movement that resulted in women's ability to vote. Susan B. Anthony was leader of all three. We talk about great women leaders, people who'd be president, but if the vote had existed back in those days, I got to believe that the Susan B. Anthony quarter would be a picture of a past president rather than just an active woman, a political leader. Women have long had a lot of sway in politics, and I think we're finding out today that they do as well. You know, I think that much of what's going on in politics today, particularly as related to the Dodd ruling and the impact on women's health has a big impact on politics. And I think women's importance in politics extends way beyond just the things that relate to women. So, for instance, abolition was an important issue that didn't relate just to women. But, you know, we've sort of ignored it in history. You mentioned this while we were off the air, our history, in 1830, who could vote? Basically, white men were who voted. You had to own property in many places in order to vote. Some of that property that you owned might well be black people, you know? And so that's a much different picture than we have today with suffrage being allowed for everyone above the age 18, everyone's vote counts the same, you know, supposedly.
So when we talk about the great founding fathers and what they saw and what they created, there clearly were some things that the founding fathers created that really today you could look and say, hey, there was something about them that wasn't right, that wasn't just. Women couldn't vote. People of color couldn't vote. And yeah, people can say, well, let's get beyond that.
Well, I think people want to attribute to the founding fathers a great deal of wisdom, and as if everything about the way the founding fathers lived is something that we ought to be recreating today. And part of this Christian nationalism, the people want to point back to the founding fathers and point to them and saying they founded a Christian nation, when in fact there's scant evidence of that, and the evidence that might exist suggests that it was a very secular group of people, some of whom were adamantly opposed, most of them adamantly opposed to any blending between religion and government. But just to talk about some ages, you know, in 1776, James Monroe was 18, Aaron Burr was 20, Alexander Hamilton was 21, James Madison was 25, Thomas Jefferson was 33, John Adams was 40, and George Washington was only 44. So that's in 1776. You know, by the time the Constitution was enacted 11 years later, they were 11 years older than that. But, I think we should understand that much of what was included in the Constitution simply reflected the culture, norms, and morals of the day, which have evolved, okay? And they have evolved away from this totally paternal society that existed in 1787.
Well, you know, women today, 844-967-2789, I know there are women listening. And so we love you to chime in and hear your opinion on it. But there are women today, Sandy, who still think that this is a male-dominated society and that women still kind of take a back seat in the society.
Well, and who conducts the debate primarily on, for instance, a woman's right to choose with respect to health issues like abortion? That debate has been largely carried by men. And, you know, are we a male-dominated society? Well, I think the glass ceiling is cracking. But I think that most people would exist that there has remained a glass ceiling. There still is an income differential out there in the workplace between men and women. And there certainly is a numbers difference with respect to the numbers in management. Happily, this is all leveling out, beginning to level out, seeming to level out. But I think it has to do with a great deal of effort on the part of women as well. I mean, there's long been a women's rights kind of movement long after suffrage was enacted, and I think it continues today. It's, you know, feminism, we've called it, as if there, and the fact that there needs to be something calling itself feminism suggests to me that there continues to be some lack of equality.
So white Christian nationalism is today's U.S. version of Taliban, according to Brendan. Brendan also says pay equity is a major issue. And Sandy, it is safe to say that there probably are more women in universities today than ever before.
Well,
and higher education.
Absolutely, I can tell you this. I went to Columbia Law School in New York. Started in fall of 1966. There were a class of 440 people. We had four women in the class. Today, that class is 55% to 60% women. So things have changed a great deal in a lifetime, and it's about time.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Hang on the lines.
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are in court fighting the Department of Natural Resources over a big factory farm in central Wisconsin. Adam Voskel is with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He says the DNR should have allowed public input on the CAFO's wastewater permit.
We're seeing concerns over CAFOs in western Wisconsin, too, where there have been significant spills and fish kills.
The DNR has a month to respond. The Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers and bicyclists to be aware of their surroundings, to share the road, and keep everyone safe. The State Patrol highlights bicycle safety each May. Bicycles are considered vehicles in Wisconsin with the same rights and responsibilities. Last year, 7 bicyclists were killed in crashes in Wisconsin and 699 people were injured. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Chippewa Falls is planning to replace all of the lead service pipes within its borders. According to a WEAU report, the city has already replaced most of its public pipes, but has now received an over $1 million grant from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to focus on private pipelines. City officials say that while it's not a requirement to replace the pipes, it could be in the future, and replacing them will make the drinking water cleaner. The Board of Public Works will meet on the plan on Monday. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced he's accepting applications for the Eau Claire County Circuit Court Branch 2. According to a press release on Wednesday, Governor Evers is seeking to fill the vacancy that will be created when Judge Michael Schumacher resigns in August. The judge picked to replace Schumacher will complete a term that ends in July of 2025. Those interested in applying can find the application on the governor's website, and all application materials must be submitted by 5 p.m. on June 3rd. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Apes will be invading the movie theaters this weekend. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes opens as summer blockbuster season picks up steam. The movie is pulling in 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. According to Rotten Tomatoes, critics say this installment of the franchise has visual effects similar to Avatar, excellent performances, and top-notch action, even if it falls just a bit short of the previous Planet of the Apes films. If you're looking to laugh, check out the spoof comedy starring Jamie Foxx called Not Another Church Movie. I must have missed all the previous ones. The film has not been shown to critics yet, so it's a dice roll. Music fans of the band Chicago might want to check out Chicago and Friends, which also has not been reviewed yet. Opening in limited release is the film We Grown Now, which is pulling mid-90s on Rotten Tomatoes and follows two kids in a coming-of-age story set in a Chicago housing project in the early 90s. Have a great weekend at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Our high 67. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 44. Tomorrow sunshine 68. By Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw Story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area at 10:33. All show long, we honor Mother's Day with your favorite mom memories. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. No, it's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the voice.
The king.
Yeah, the voice. You know, with all the great singers, Nat King Cole's voice.
It was effortless.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. And so, why are you playing these songs today?
I like Miss Otis, and unfortunately she doesn't make it to lunch. She doesn't at all.
Right, and so many people have taken their swing at.
Yeah. Cole Porter wrote it, and a lot of people have taken a swing at it. I think the next one we'll have will be in a foreign tongue.
All right. We were talking before we had that short break about women and our nation, which, you know, still continues to this day to push back against women. And women certainly have kind of come a long way, but there's still a long way to go. Let's go to Gary from Sussex.
Greg, good morning, good morning, guys. Hey, I got something to tell you guys. You guys are going to be really surprised.
Is it in line with the conversation we're having, Gary?
Of course.
Okay. Well, do I
ever call out of line? No, I know. Ooh. Hey, you know, come on. You guys wouldn't put me on the air if I wasn't in line, and I'm very respectful. You guys know that too. Etta James, look it up. Etta James.
Yeah. Etta James. Etta James.
Okay, but we call. I know, but we call her Etta James because she's my wife's great, great aunt.
Really?
Okay? She was, yeah. My wife, she's an ancestor of my wife is an ancestor of the James family, and they go way back. They were a captain during the Civil War is one of them. David James was a Wisconsin state senator, and you can look it all it up now. What's the reason I'm calling isn't because I'm just telling you a little bit of history.
Well, I think she did the same song, incidentally. I didn't choose it, but she's done a rendition of this song as well. Etta James.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But we call her, ours is Etta James.
Okay.
Her aunt.
All right.
But look it up. Look it up. And then
no,
you
said
can that. See that. Yeah. So Wisconsin, from what I understand, from my wife said, was the first state to actually ratify women's right to vote. And there was a race between Wisconsin and Illinois. And Wisconsin actually came in second, but Illinois didn't have the papers signed properly. So they used Wisconsin as the first state to actually get to Washington, D.C. and get it all ratified. I mean, it's a long story if you read everything on the Internet about it. But I do want to say, and I know you're going to smile, she was a Republican. So it all started with the female women Republicans in Wisconsin.
Well, abolition was largely a Republican movement, but that was when the Republican Party was the Republican Party.
Right. And the Democrats were the Democratic Party. You know, it is sad, Sandy, that I think that both parties have gone too far, or some people have gone too far. I'd like to see the Democrats come back and maybe the Republicans come back, and I think we can all work together
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot better than than fighting the way we are, because I've never, I'm 72 years old. I have never in my life ever seen such hatred toward both parties. It used to be, you know, when Obama was president, life was fine. I didn't hate Obama. I didn't hate Bill Clinton. I didn't hate Jimmy Carter. Matter of fact, I voted for Jimmy Carter because I used to be a Democrat. But now it's like, it's terrible. It's hate. I mean, we got to come back or we're going to have a real problem here. And
all right, Gary, Sandy, you want to respond to that?
Well, Gary, I think that's exactly what civic media is all about, actually. I think the whole notion of the network is to try and create a medium in which civility prevails and conversation is the key to the day. You know, when I was actually in politics, working as the legal counsel of the governor, a guy named Pat Lucey, many of the people who were Republicans and Democrats had each come out of the Progressive Party and had to decide in 1948 which party they were going to join. Some joined the Democrats, some joined the Republicans. And there was a great deal of ability to converse across the aisle and to accomplish things. It's not that way.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Gary. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom.
Hey, Earl. First, I'd like to call them the anti-Christian nationalist, because I don't see any type of reflection of Jesus Christ at all in their movement. So I'm going to call them the anti-Christian nationalist. Also, you know, it starts right from the beginning. You have, you know, God was a man. You have Jesus was a man. And I think because of those things, you have a patriarchy society. And, you know, you have, honestly, there's a lot of women that fight against women, in my opinion, as they, you know, move up the ladder. I think that's changing maybe as they become more secure in their positions. But I think that that's part of the problem. Also, something that's been bugging me since Monday, I just wanted to get it off my chest, is that, you know, Gary was talking about the fact that he has a small business and he works hard and all this kind of stuff, and he thinks the billionaires deserve what they get. I just want to say that I think Gary works a lot harder than the billionaire class that's out there with his small business. And myself, as a small business owner and someone that's worked for people, and I've met payroll, and I have done all the things that they, you know, want to rattle off, I will tell you right now, the amount of freedom that comes with running your own business and doing your passion. I'm sure there are a lot of working people out there that would love to have their own business and run their own business. And I think that the small mom and pop businesses out there work a hell of a lot harder than the guys that are, and the women that are, sitting around the pool collecting a dividends check, and our billionaires that don't pay taxes.
All right, Tom, we got you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, no, I think, but I, in a little later segment, I was hoping to talk about the evolution of our workplace away from the big institutions and more towards mom and pop, self-owned, self-initiated businesses. That's an ongoing change in our economy. It's a little different than the slant you were putting on it, Tom, but it's definitely a trend worth talking about. And, you know, the fact is that people can become wealthy by working hard. People only become rich because of assets, because of being able to own stock, being able to own real estate, being able to own things that grow in value, essentially in spite of the effort or without the effort of the owner. And so, you know, ultimately that's the way billionaires make their money, is by having assets that appreciate very much.
All right. So the text line, Brendan, between the offenses to women and the awakening of the Generation Z movement, I hope to God it will help us save our democracy. The youth of this country will be the guiding force to bring us back to working political system. We need to separate religion and politics. This is a part of the bad stew that is our current political issues. And I'm surprised, you know, that we haven't had a call from a woman yet. But women, I think, in many instances, don't want to get involved with politics.
Well, I do think that Brendan had made a point there with respect to youth, because I do believe that people who are 30 and under in this current situation right now, the people who are under 30, have very little in terms of having a lens for gender. I think men and women are treated very equally amongst that age group, as are people of different sexual sexual. I don't think the word is preference. I'm trying to think of what Tom would instruct me to use. Identities, and I think the people who are 30 and under are very much blind to all of those kinds of differences, and that gives me a great deal of hope going forward. I think that all of us have grown up in the shadow of a period when the society was much more patriarchal, in which all sorts of lines were drawn. I think those lines are not being drawn very distinctly at all by the young people.
All right, let's go to Kurt from Madison. Good morning to you, Kurt. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. You know, I grew up with three sisters and a lot of friends who had sisters, and there was always a fairly solid set of code and respect for women. I've seen that deteriorate greatly over my lifetime. I'm in my 60s. But if I may, because it's come up several times, the differences I see between my youth and growing up in, you know, for lack of words, the Commonwealth, small businesses, and the discussion of wealth, it seems like we've been trying to be programmed of always making massive wealth. You look at the TV reality shows, Shark Tank and stuff like that, instead of just focusing on, you know, being the better person and have providing services and have a community amongst businesses. Now it's all about, you know, this chalice that most of us will never, ever reach. And I think we should start focusing on one another more on those levels instead of looking at the golden chalice on the hill, which is an illusion.
You know, Kurt, you know, when you live in a society that says he who has the goal, the most goal, wins in the end, just to even try to run that past your mind and your heart, you know, nobody's ever been able to take any of that goal with them. And so when your focus is solely on, you know, having as much as I can get and more than the next guy, and Elon Musk or what's the other guy's name? Fox?
Jeff, well, Bezos.
All those guys. And when one person can have $300 billion, and you just wonder that if those people, a handful of them, could collectively put their resources together, we can eradicate cancer.
Well,
or we can eradicate hunger, you know, if they would just think of it from that perspective. Sandy, go ahead.
Well, I think Kurt had a good point, though. I think in the 60s and 70s, prosperity was something that people would shoot for, okay? Prosperity means that you can live comfortably, you can live fearlessly about your financial situation. That's prosperity. But now people are really fixated, I think, that prosperity isn't enough. Great wealth is required. Great intergenerational wealth, something that can be handed down not to children but for multiple generations. Huge accumulated wealth, and it's almost keeping up with the Joneses. Whereas prosperity was something that was achievable, what's now looked at is a fantasy.
You know, we're going to be starting a new segment on the Earl Ingram Show. Well, we'll do this. We'll talk about this after we come back. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And that music is absolutely beautiful.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. An emergency fund is a special kind of savings you set aside for emergencies and emergencies only. Who should have one? Everybody. And why should you have one? In a word, security.
Did you know that today, more than half of the adults in America, 147 million of us, can't even afford a $1,000 emergency? I recommend socking away at least $1,000 and eventually building up to 3 to 6 months of household expenses. You want to keep your emergency fund somewhere easy to access, like a savings account, and not in the stock market, thank you very much. Look, we can't avoid bad things happening, but we can work to make sure that when that never gonna happen to me thing does happen to one of us, we are as financially prepared as we can be. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285. Till next time, take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? I can't help it.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Before we go to the phone lines, I was saying before, you know, the last break, we're going to be doing a segment, a new segment, every other Monday at 8 o'clock on the Earl Ingram Show called The Patriotic Millionaires. So the Patriotic Millionaires are a bunch of people in this country who have accumulated huge sums of wealth. But unlike most of those who have accumulated huge sums of wealth, they are using their wealth to do something that's almost unheard of, and that's to make things better. So beginning in a couple weeks, get used to hearing the Patriotic Millionaires on the Earl Ingram Show every other Monday. Let's go to the phone lines and Mary from Racine. Good morning to you, Mary. Thank you very much for the call.
This is Karen from Racine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, that's all right. Your previous segment about talking about women breaking the glass ceiling.
Yes.
I did that. I was a farmer. I am a farmer. Even though I'm old and that sort of stuff, but the reaction from the men where I grew up was horrible. And from the women, too. It was like, you can't do that. You're not strong enough. You don't know how to do this stuff. I learned.
So let me ask you, so you clearly have gone through your entire life with having to deal with men who thought that you clearly should, you know, be barefoot and, you know, in the bedroom and in the kitchen. And so as you fought that battle, you know, it certainly was a lot more difficult for you in your time than now. You were one of the, you know, trendsetters and blazers. What do you want to say to young women today?
Go for it. You learn. You adapt. I was very lucky. After I got going, the guys began to start to give me advice. Would they help me? Would they come out and help me do hay or anything like that? No. They'd laugh at me. They'd go, Karen's cutting hay. It's going to rain. I had a good time.
Well, the caller, Gary, or one of them called in, said he had three sisters. I had three sisters, too. And I think one of the ways the world has changed is my sisters grew up with the vision of going into the healthcare industry or teaching, which is what they did. And now the range of things that women should and are thinking about doing is should be the full gamut. You know, everything is possible. And that's a good thing.
So thank you very much for the call, Karen. I have five sisters, And well, let's do this. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Al. You say what?
I'm looking for some Billy Eckstine or Roy Hamilton while you're playing all this old music. let's get back to the historical stuff.
Hey, hey, aren't you what? Old?
Old?
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, but
Al's forgotten how old he is.
Side. Yeah, right. from the other side, due to the slavery and all the other issues, the black women lead the families in the communities throughout the nation because they were able to get jobs when they wouldn't hire black men. They were able to go to school and get an education when the men were falling off because they didn't have the skills or the pre-teaching to be able to absorb that information. They wanted jobs and things that they could do with their hands, not with their minds. So a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with today still is issues that could have been corrected many, many moons ago, but nobody wanted to correct it because they want control over people. That's something that, as you all are talking, you're not talking about, that I wanted to hear about.
All right, Al, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to that?
Well, I don't have the experience Al has to, but I think he's relating something that is obviously true in terms of the cultural activity or cultural norms.
Well, there's no question that black women have been trendsetters in the black community as far as education. If you look in the universities, probably outnumber black men 5, 6, 7 to 1. And it's been that way for a long, long time. When you look at a society that has said we have to be more accommodating to people, minorities, they would hire a black woman over a black man because she fit two criteria, a woman and a black. And so, yeah, that's been an ongoing issue in our community that many of us are aware of that has, you know, caused some harm based on the fact that men who were qualified many times were passed up, again, for a person who was a double minority. But all of those different things are things that this nation has to continue to work on and not, you know, act as though we've succeeded. Women still are not exactly given fair and equitable treatment. And so when is that going to ever come to an end? People of color still aren't given fair and equitable treatment. Is it better? Yes, it's better. But people are asking for what should be equity and should be a birthright for everybody born in this country, equity.
You know, until we get equilibrium, there's going to be lashes and backlashes. So, you know, we have, I think, schools who are actively trying to achieve diversity, and we have people who aren't getting into those schools because of that, and now we've got a backlash with respect to that.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You speak German, Earl?
Sprechen Sie noch.
Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and big-time fan Rich LoCascio in studio. And host of Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins us to talk about Saturday night's show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl. The Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.